Hello, welcome to the Monday, January 25th, 2016 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and today I'm recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Quite a few people liked Basil's diary that shows you how to extract packets from memory. Essentially, the way this works is it uses a tool called Bulk Extractor, and personally, I wasn't actually familiar with that tool. It does some simple network and also disk forensics. You essentially can just feed a file and it will then try to carve out different data types, one of which is packet captures. So what you can do with Bulk Extractor is extract packet captures from memory. Pretty interesting. And for example, in forensics, if an attacker had a packet capture running, then you may be able to extract it from memory this way. And then a quick diary from Didier about how to deal with malformed MIME files. MIME attachments, of course, we deal with them a lot, and Didier wrote a couple of Python tools to deal with them. But then again, the Python libraries sometimes don't catch some of the malformed MIME attachments that, for example, Office does process. So Didier gives you some hints here in how to deal with these attachments. And apparently three large Indian banks and a pharmaceutical company were somewhat paralyzed by a large ransomware attack. Sad part here is it was actually some of the less professional ransomware, Le Chiffre. Now, Le Chiffre is written apparently by some Russians in Delphi. The reason it's believed it's written by Russians is because there are Russian artifacts that was written in the Russian language version of Delphi. In addition to that, it only encrypts the first 8 kilobytes of any file. The remainder of the file is still readable and usable. But of course, with the first 8 kilobytes being encrypted, you probably can't open the file. So you have to apply special tools to get access back to the file. So this is not very professionally written malware, and with that, probably not very professionally maintained enterprise networks. For the most part, I haven't really heard about a lot of damage that ransomware caused in reasonably well-managed enterprise networks. In enterprise networks, you tend to store less data on the workstation in the first place, and if you do, usually things like backups and such are better regulated and implemented in enterprises than for your average small business or home user. And an interesting variation to this particular ransomware, in addition to just encrypting files, it also does replace the sethc.exe binary with command.exe. That has been done in the past to sort of gain more persistent access. Sethc.exe is activated whenever you hit the shift key 5 times. It's supposed to detect the sticky keys and then gives you the option to turn on the sticky key option, but in this case, this binary is subverted by just replacing it with command.exe. So this way, you do get access to a system even if you don't know its password. And it's about a month to the RSA conference in San Francisco. Of course, I'll be speaking there again. So if you attend, stop by at the panels that I'm participating in. But aside from that, not so nice about RSA that when you register for the RSA conference, it not only asks you for your Twitter handle, but in addition, it also asks you for your Twitter password in order to be able to tweet on your behalf. Now, Twitter actually has a solution for this OAuth. With OAuth, it's very straightforward or reasonably straightforward to authorize a site like RSA if you want to tweet on your behalf and to announce to the world that you're attending. But in addition, you don't have to reveal your password to RSA, which RSA now asks you to do. So totally unnecessary and of course totally insecure to enter your password for Twitter into any site but Twitter. And Cisco last week patched a flaw in its Unified Computing System Manager and in its Cisco Fire 9000 systems. I don't think I mentioned that particular flaw yet, and so I want to catch up on this. It's pretty serious in that it does expose a CGI script
to the world, essentially, without authentication, that can be used to execute arbitrary commands. So essentially, yet another kind of backdoor into a secure device, a patch that you should apply rather quickly, even though, of course, these devices should be somewhat isolated. And in particular, security appliance like the FirePower device should actually not even have sort of a publicly reachable IP address. Well, and that's it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.